Blog Talk Radio. There's no reason for you to lose your mind, 'cause I've seen something that's gonna change our time. If I
there will never be any peace until Yah succeed at the conference table. Men are running from land to land, trying to make things all right, holding meeting after meeting, constantly reaching what they may think is right. Everybody has a plan made by just a man. People, can't you understand? You gotta tell them there will never be any peace until Yah is seated at the conference table. There never be any peace until Yah is seated upon the throne.
Brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, thank the Most High. Yes, thank the Most High that we're back. Back again for another episode. Yes, another blessed episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Edemiah of Covenant Remembrance Ministry. So very thankful to the Most High, yes indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. Speak these very precious words that the Most High has granted me. Yes, I welcome you to the show, and I thank the Most High for every ear. Yes, for every ear that he brings near. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me, that I have for his cause, unto his purpose, some very, very important things for him that I must do. And he told me because of what I must do, he said to me that I would accrue, indeed, some very powerful friends, as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him, that which he's asked of me, I would have his protection. Yes, his protection, his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall. Yes, I said since the dawn of human fall. To hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could. I said if they could, to destroy. No debate, no question about it, my brothers and sisters. There's an absolution that if we are to be found worthy of the holy name, that we must, I repeat, that we must attain. There is, without debate and the question of a doubt, beyond all contradiction, beyond all partiality, a wisdom, my brothers and sisters, that we all must awaken to if we are at all to be found worthy we've been found a partaker. The covenant the Most High declared for those who he would call unto his name as a strong people. I often talk about on this show about the idea about overcoming the world. And I have a lot to say about that tonight. Yes, indeed. However, tonight's show is not going to be quite as long or as many shows in the past have been. I would like to lay just simply tonight a little bit of groundwork toward where we need to go. Yes, I said a bit of groundwork toward where it is that we all should have known, always to be driven, in terms of discernment, in terms of what must be our common sense of eventuality, a common sense of what is indeed salvation, what is peace. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that in discerning all that the prophets have said, all that the Most High has said, foretelling of the coming of the Messiah. If we truly understood what the prophecies say, that he will, as his modus operandi, his mode of operation, must do, must diligently pursue, how you shall pursue it in the latter days, we would have a far better understanding of what must be the drive, the goal, the path to be all, even now, and always should have, in fact, walked. What have you to understand, my brothers and sisters, they've taught this lie in the society in which we live. And many have not discerned what Messiah meant at Yohanan 14th chapter when it says, "Be not afraid, I've overcome the world." Many have not understood what he meant, what is meant concerning him. The book of Isaiah, 49th chapter. The scripture says, according to the 48th to 49th, if you understand it well, Messiah comes because the Most High has looked upon men and seen that all have sworn by his name, all who have sworn by his name have done so, but not in truth, not under all righteousness. There is a remembrance of exceeding wisdom, exceeding truth according to the covenant, according to all that he foreswore. Is the obligation of all those who call upon his name. There's a dimension of truth, my brothers and sisters, that many have not even known to seek, that have not known that they must attain, have not understood that in the gift of the Holy Spirit, in a vow unto the Most High, man has an obligation under the full restoration of all truth, be a righteous example to his brother. The holy name be not defamed. The man not fall short of the mark. The man not exalt any sinful standard, any polluted standard, any short-sighted standard that falls short of the faith of the ancient saints. And many might remember many years ago, I remember telling somebody about the scriptures in Isaiah, a Messiah, coming forth. In many respects, the scriptures in Isaiah 49, Isaiah 50, speaks about it. Speaks about what's in Matthew 5:14-24, when he said, "Your righteousness," in the sense of what is righteousness, "must exceed that of your rulers." How about all the contentions, conflict, debate, strife taught by your rulers? "Else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah." All this debate, doubt, misrepresentation, Contradiction, brothers and sisters, the result of a lie, not the result of full pursuit of the truth, not a result of being led by the Most High, as exclusively by Him. And man discerning that all these contradictions are the result of men trusting after the precepts of men, not fully the will of Yah, my brothers and sisters, shouldn't it be wisdom to us, a realization, that since there's a dimension of truth that is rarely discerned in this world, how is it, my brothers and sisters, that we, so many of us, so quickly presume that we know enough? I was talking to somebody, as I said before, and I remember this years ago, relating that Messiah said your rights must succeed that of your rulers. And I said in that case, I told him, I'm talking about all your pastors, your priests, your rabbis, your elders. Do men dare say that they are complete before the Most High because they are Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, American, Spanish, Italian, German, French, whatever? Do men think that they're complete before the Most High after any of the standards of men? Messiah the word from the beginning, and there's no question about it. All the variant political, social, national, cultural allegiances of this earth have in some way been an obstacle against men discerning. But the scriptures say Messiah himself in the latter days must restore. I will say to you, my brothers and sisters, that there's a scripture, for instance, in the book of Philippians. And many, when you talk about the fact that you must overcome the world, I can only tell you what one told me. See, how should we do that? How should we exceed the righteousness of our rulers? What else was he telling me that all he knew was to listen to some pastor, listen to some pastor in the church? He had no contact with the Most High. How else shall you exceed the unrighteousness of the fallen standards of your rulers, but that you hear from Yah? All have not heard the preaching of the gospel, not all have preached the gospel, not all have preached or even heard that word that's beyond all the misconceits of man. That's what the gospel is. It's a word that rules over. That shows what is exceeding rule beyond all the nations. It exposes the folly, the misconceits of all the nations. Scripture says, faith comes therefore by hearing a word from Yah. It says, kings should shut their mouths because of him, because that which they had not considered, they should be made to consider. Who then shall believe his report? But those who know to seek beyond all the variant rulerships of this earth. But like I said, I heard someone tell me immediately, first time I remember vocalizing that to someone. And the first question he responded with, how shall we exceed our rulers? The description in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. I will say to you that that word that should be there is not Christ. The word there is the Kurdi. The word that means or relates to Messiah, is the one called Shiloh unto whom all should gather. In discerning an exceeding light. One called the Kurdi, the sunrise. One like the sudden rising of the sun. It casts out all the darkness and reveals the light the world would obscure. The scriptures tell us, if we read Isaiah 40:27-41:4, he comes to declare a testimony that proves foolish all the wisdom of the wise. Isaiah 44:20-45:6, Isaiah 40:27-41:4, he says, the king should be made as dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. It's the one that comes forth saying, listen to me, O owls. Keep silence before me, O you owls. Let my people renew their strength. Scripture says, kings be made as dust before his sword, driven stubble to his bow. Who is it that has called forth this righteous one? Like unto the rising sun. made him to subdue even kings. Of course, it is Yahweh who does it. And I tell you right now, that is latter-day prophecy. One scripture in Yohanan, first chapter, says that those who believed in him, he gave them power. How about strength to become the sons of Yah? How about to exceed, my brothers and sisters, being blinded by the fallen lack of discipline that is the rule of the kings, the rule of the pastors and priests, rabbis, your elders, who never taught you the whole truth. I think about the scriptures there that say those who believe in him gave them power to become sons of Yah, not after the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, born of Yah. The conceits after flesh and blood should not enter the kingdom of Yah, brothers and sisters. There's an exceeding conscience that must be attained by the Spirit. People say we walk after the flesh, what seems wise to the flesh, we die. We walk after the Spirit. Subduing the flesh by the Spirit, we live. My brothers and sisters, how shall we walk beyond the flesh but that we receive from Yah, Spirit, and a love for truth beyond all the variant standards of men, beyond all the contradictions which can never be salvation, peace. Scripture says, I can do all things through the Kurdi who strengthens me. Well, how about say we can do all things, my brothers and sisters, through the strength of a conqueror? Blessed are they who will understand. Mark 10:26-27. Messiah spoke these words. They asked, who then can be saved? His disciples asked, who then can be saved? Who then can be made whole? Who can transcend all the enticements, the illusions of this world? Messiah's response said, this is impossible with men. But all things are possible with Yah. Blessed are they who will understand. I think about scriptures like Isaiah 49:1-6, where it says point blank, the Messiah will say one day, relating that he too, I hope you understand it. Read Isaiah 49 closely. That he too will declare that he had for a time walked after the vanities of this world. The Most High called him for a higher purpose. And he said, but now, since the Most High has called me unto his purpose, Yah, I did not say the frailties of man, but Yah, the greater vision of Yah, and his perspicacity, perseverance, diligence, and what Yah has declared has made Yah to become his strength, his power to overcome, his power to see beyond all the illusions, all the partial standards and polluted standards of men. Scriptures speak about him also, my brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 50. And he asked the question, because apparently he has taught a very powerful testimony. And the scripture says, Zephaniah 3, Messiah will come in the last days to reprove what is called a wicked and oppressive city. One that the scriptures also call the city of destruction, the city of confusion. In Isaiah 19:18-25. How about Isaiah 24:10-16? The prophecies written late again and again that city is a mere example of all the miscreant standards of a world entire. But who will, my brothers and sisters, understand it in due season? All the prophecies have said, Genesis to Revelation, concerning this magnificent event, it should have been the expectation of us all. It says, because that city would not listen, there would be destruction of this city. It would tell the whole world the time for upholding illusion. Preserving any fallen standard is no more. And all the kings are running for cover, says Revelation 6:12. All the kings are running for cover, saying, hide from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne, because Isaiah 24 relates the idea that all people suddenly realize that their leaders are treacherous. That they have not taught all that they should have taught. And not having taught all that should have been taught, they never preached the gospel. They've only exploited the people. Well, Isaiah, in the 50th chapter, speaks of Messiah as appearing. And he said, thus said the Most High. Speaking in this case, my brothers and sisters, concerning Messiah and his appearing, who is called by the name of the Most High. So where's the bill of your mother's divorce? In other words, if you feel that you have a covenant that turns you not to give reverence for all that the ancient patriarchs were told to pass down from generation to generation, you think that there's been somehow a covenant disavowing what the Most High has decreed after all the rudiments of men that must be proven foolish. Think about it. You prove foolish all the rudiments of man, man has the opportunity to be restored to the covenant of the Most High himself. All prophecy relates again and again that you must exceed the unrighteousness of your rulers. You're exceeding them, a covenant with Yah then is restored. But Messiah comes forth and he asks the question in the midst of a scenario whereby he has preached, but men have not listened. He says, thus says the Most High. In this case, I'm telling you now, he's talking to Messiah himself. So where have your bill of your mother's divorcement? Wow. Later on in that scripture, it talks about, look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who conceived you. Who has the bill of your mother's divorcement? You claim, if you will, that I put away, as if there's a covenant not to preserve what he declared from the beginning. So which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? In other words, did I owe anyone? Most times asking the question. Did I owe anyone anything that I would have to pay you? Was it anything that he has done that he owes a debt? All things belong unto Yah. And I would have you, like I said, to continue to read through these verses and you understand the scenario of what's going on. He says, behold, for your iniquities, it was your iniquities. That you, because of your iniquities, you sold yourself. He's speaking to his people. Because you indebted yourselves to have to pay an atonement for your sins. You sinned and you must return from these inadequacies, these fallen standards you aspired to. Or how else could you be called converted? He says, for your iniquities you sold yourselves. You put yourselves in a situation making it difficult for you even to repent. It's for your transgressions that you put your mother away. But did the Most High sanction the divorce? No, my brothers and sisters, not at all. Covenant declared to his people from the beginning, what he promised that he would bring to bear should be a common expectation of us all throughout all the ages. But here's the verses of which I would speak to you, my brothers and sisters, because they are the declaration of Messiah himself, saying, wherefore, why is it that when I came, there was no man? When I called, there was none to answer. Compare the scripture, Isaiah 42. It's if I should ask him a question, there was none to answer, none to bring forth a solution. Those prophecies going on in Isaiah 42 saying that for a long time he held his peace. But now you lay waste mountains, you dry up the herbs. In other words, he will show without any question or doubt the Most High is not pleased with the unrighteousness of men. He will show forth, my brothers and sisters, what is necessary that men see the way of peace that they are not known. He will lead the people by a path that they like lead the blind by a path that they have not known. He will have to show again the way. Scriptures even go on to Isaiah 43 talking about destroying all this babbling, all these confusions that have snared the minds of the people, all these fallen standards that have not acknowledged the whole truth that have snared the minds and hearts of his people. He says, my hand is short and all. They cannot redeem. Or have I no power to deliver? He says, behold, in my rebuke I dry up the sea. Where did that scripture come from? It's in Isaiah 19, 1 through 5. The scripture also, my brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 44, 20 through 45, 6. You know who that's talking about. That scripture is also in Revelation. I said Revelation We've been talking about these verses with quite a bit of frequency of late. Revelation 16:12-21. Notice it says, "Behold, in my rebuke I drive out the seas." In other words, I show the folly of the various mindscapes of the nations. And yes, there will be a drying up of the rivers. In other words, the Most High will show man the way to see beyond. Whatever fallen standards the rulers have cast over the people, set veils and blinding coverings over the people that they have not discerned the need to see beyond. Miscreant leaders. The scriptures also talk about, my brothers and sisters, a genuine, literal, material, physical, drying up of the rivers. And my brothers and sisters, many not realizing how much they should have given honor to Yah for him to bring forth rain in due season, will suffer greatly, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says many will die, in fact, of thirst, even as the fish of the rivers will die of thirst. You need to look close to these scriptures in Isaiah 50:1-5. And perhaps it might be a good idea to go back and read a little bit of that 19th chapter of Isaiah, particularly the first 5 verses, and understand what it really means. Because it's talking about a strong king that all nations will be delivered under his possession. At a time when his exceeding testimony is his word like a swift cloud that all will see. It expose all the unrighteousness of all the nations, that all the fallen standards of the nations shall be exposed. And that's what the scriptures mean. It says the cities of the nations fail. Men shall find and discern the need to seek a greater righteousness than all their rulers. So wherefore when I came, was there no man, was there none to answer? Is my hand short at all that cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, my rebuke, I drop the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, like a desert. Their fish stink, because there's no water, and they die of thirst. Wow. How much does that sound so much, my brothers and sisters, like the scriptures? At Revelation 16:12, I'm talking about the drying up the river Euphrates. Isaiah 44, he's talking about the Most High drying up the rivers, proving foolish the wisdom of the wise. Showing proving vain the wisdom of the wise. Isaiah 19:1-5, particularly in the... Let me put this together for you. We've talked about these verses before, but I'd like to go back down to the 19. Yeah, here we are. Bad translation. I will help to clarify. The Most High would deliver a testimony, a revelation that would bring forth a revolution. We'll expose all the unrighteousness of all the rulers. It says, moreover, in 19:4, I will deliver the Egyptians in the hand. They put down here cruel master. It means a very strict master, Lord. One who declares then the righteousness of Yah. And a mighty king, it says here, will rule over them. That's the NASB, by the way. And a mighty king, a strong king, will rule over them. How about the nation shall be given into the hand of a righteous king? Who is that righteous king? I can only tell you the Aramaic translation. Like, you can look at L-A-M-S-A-B-I-B-L-E, lamsabible.com, and you will find the scripture called this one the king of the Medes. The very one that is mentioned in the book of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, about, 11 to 28 verses? Some other one called the king of the Medes. Who overthrows Babylon once and for all? Egypt, Babylon, and Moab being discerned in the light in their similitude. Look at the 19:5. And the waters from the sea will dry up, and the rivers will be parched and dry, and the canals will emit a stench. The streams of Egypt will thin out and dry up, and the reeds and the rushes shall ride away. What the papyrus? What did they write papyrus? What did they write upon when they made papyrus? What did they make them out of? The reeds by the river. It means, my brothers and sisters, all the so-called constitutionalities, the mandates and rules of the nations will pass away. Like I said, you read 19:18-25, it talks about the scheme by which the Most High should bring forth world peace. All these prophecies are quite kindred at that point, my brothers and sisters. So those who are wise, discerning how all these things work together, will discern who that is at Isaiah 49, who says, "Listen to me, O isles, hearken to me, O you nations. Most High is calling from the womb. And from the body of my mother, they made mention of my name." We spoke about this much on last evening. 50:2 again, Isaiah. Like I said, compare. Say, "Behold, in my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. The fish stink because there's no water. They die of thirst. I close the heavens with blackness." In other words, I prove the rulers to be blind, not the children of light. "I put the shame, I make sackcloth. I put them to shame, make sackcloth their covering. The Most High has given me the tongue of a disciple." Or "the Most High has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." They'll wait for the Most High to renew their strength. "He's not stumbled, neither is he weary." But they'll wait for him to renew their strength. Come on, people. Understand who the scriptures are saying the Messiah is. Isaiah 40-41 speaks about an Eliyahu who prophesied the coming of one called the righteous, one like the rising sun. Messiah said that Yohanan is that Eliyahu who was to come. So who is he saying that he is? "He wakened me morning by morning, caused my ear to hear the teaching. Most High opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." Who is, my brothers and sisters, that will discern that the Messiah in the last days must indeed overcome the unrighteousness? I said overcome the unrighteousness of a whole world. Knowing this, should that not also be our path? And petition the Most High for His Spirit that would teach us all things, bring all things to remembrance. How about to bring all things to remembrance that must be again discerned? Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The scripture says, in continuing, in the midst of these verses, 51:2, he calls his people to look to Abraham. He says, look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who bore, conceived you. "For I called him and blessed him, even when he was alone. I called him, blessed him, and increased him." Should that not also be the faith, my brothers and sisters, of those whom the Most High calls? Blessed are they who will understand them. Well, I can only tell you that if we know what the Messiah, by the Spirit of Yah, must overcome, what he must attain, knowing that there's a greater truth that must be discern beyond all that is common to man in this wayward age, should not that greater truth be a drive for us all? I know what the Most High told me. He told me that whatever you hear, see, or anything else, read, anything else from men, he said, check it out with him first. Or somebody, how about some fool will make a fool of you? That was enough warning for me. I know what the scriptures say. The Messiah will come and saying, declaring and walking according to that admonishment. And in that admonishment, walking in that word, therefore declaring as an example, he will not judge what his eyes see or what his ears hear. He knows that there's a greater standard in the Most High to be attained. Therefore, he will discern beyond all wickedness. Reprove it all by the spirit of his mouth. And that unto him shall all the nations come. Scripture says the isles shall wait for his law. Him shall all the nations seek. And therefore his peace shall be glorious. When men seek beyond all those who in their vanity, their short-sightedness, have left the people to be prideful after what could never be, never bring forth peace. Yah is one, a multitude of contentions and contradictions can never be true to him. Should we not then know, my brothers and sisters, since none of the standards of this present age will survive the judgment? We should know. We must ask Yah what is necessary. What is the recovery of truth? That we at last be true to Him. Yah in all things as He is. I say no Messiah comes to do. How it is prophesied that He is the child of promise will do it. By what power He should do it, by what manner of faith He should do it. Yeah. That should be an example of us, an example for us all. And I can only say that the blessedness, the righteousness of the kingdom, has become more important to us even than our own souls, lest we, for lack of love, not be driven to seek beyond the ordinary. And so many of my brothers and sisters fall after compromise. Messiah, according to all scripture, will not be pleased in the pursuit of wisdom till the Most High Himself says, "You are my son, this day have I begotten thee." Blessed are they who will understand that. We'll understand what the scriptures meant when the scripture says, Messiah will come forth saying, "Listen to me, O isles, hearken to me, O you nation. The Most High is calling from the womb, from the body of my mother, as He made mention of my name." Like I said, these who understand that scripture will understand the preciousness of what it means in the latter day when Messiah will again say, "Be not afraid. I have overcome the world." Like I said, either one has that heart to seek the Most High for the wisdom that disciplines man beyond all his shortcomings. Either man has that heart. I can only tell you now, he will not be counted worthy to partake with a covenanted people. Each soul must be willing to humble himself before the exceeding righteousness of Yah. As the scripture means, it says, "The Spirit of Yah is upon him, preach good tidings to the meek, the gospel unto the meek." Whoever, my brothers and sisters, would exalt himself against the greater righteousness of Yah has made himself an enemy. Whoever would call upon the name of the Most High and not seek and be inclined to know he must seek all divine will establishes animosity against the covenant. And my brothers and sisters, he is immediately counted at that point unworthy. Woe to those who have been taught after the false doctrines of worldly religion. They tell people that Messiah overcame so they don't have to exceed the world in its illusions and lies. Messiah said, "If I do not go, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit will not come." What do you call the Comforter? How about the Spirit, my brothers and sisters, that teaches men all things so that all can agree? It says, comfort you, my people. Let's all repent unto the pure, perfect truth. Seek the pure, perfect truth that our contentions, warfare, will come to an end. That should be the goal. In fact, that is the goal in the saints. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. If man confesses the name of the Most High, the name of Him who says He is all that He is, and he does not seek the fullness of all the Most High's creed, men will continue to walk in their depravities, exalting themselves as wise, but none attaining to the fullness of righteousness. Messiah knows, according to the scriptures. Think about it. I said, "What the Most High told me." If I told you everything He told me when He told me that, well, some of you might not be ready for that, but He told me straight out, there are no more ministers in the earth. I remember reading Isaiah 59. It says, "I beheld there were no intercessor, no one to help. No one who taught a standard that fully heals." So Messiah will put upon himself the whole armor of Yah, the fullness of the truth. And anyone who will stand against the world receiving the light of that righteousness, he counts an enemy. Who will understand it in his time, my brothers and sisters, that we know far better how much more we should prepare. Psalms 14 and Psalm 53. "Most High looked upon men, saw none that does good, none who realized how much more they need to seek Yah, or how much they need to seek Yah Himself, knowing that Yah is none of these contradictions of man." My brothers and sisters, do you really believe that there's a multitude of righteousness, a multitude of different saviors, a multitude of different standards intersprinkled with the illusions of man, short-sightedness, and the compromises of men. The Most High will accept any of these? He said, men have sworn by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. And for a moment he have to defer his anger that his people might be refined. That's his grace. That's his favor. That he teaches his people that they see beyond the flaw, the false rule, the law of this world that compels men to trust in short-sighted standards against the greater wisdom of Yah. The law of Yah and the grace of Yah are one and the same. It is the law of man that is in defiance. Who will understand? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that there's an abundance of scripture that relates again and again, that it is the responsibility of those who received his spirit to seek the fullness of all that is his will. Anything else is a blasphemy. If a man sinned willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, how about does not seek the fullness of what is necessary? He found righteous before Yah. He establishes sin. He establishes fallen standards. He deceives himself and deceives others. Scripture says, anyone who does that, how can there be an atonement for one who will not seek what indeed is in all things one with Yah, and so establishing curses, divisions, but fall into the hands of an angry Yah. Think about it. We talked about the book of Galatians, where it talked about, you know, hey, if any man calls any other word other than what is complete, the gospel, he said, let him be accursed. Men seek to establish a multitude of short-sightedness, not submitting fully to the righteousness of Yah, not knowing the righteousness of Yah, and therefore seeking to establish their own righteousness, they only set for themselves a curse. And if they set for curses, divisions, short-sighted standards to blind other men, what shall be their own reward? Most High says, there's no other holy one but he. No other blessed. And release and reveal to man all that is salvation. But he. In other words, my brothers and sisters, know this not to say that other men, not to say that some among men have attained to what the Most High calls acceptable. But when Messiah said himself, there's none good but the one Yah, he was saying there's some things only the Father knows. And blessed, I would say, my brothers and sisters, are those that when the time comes to be tried, tested, to find out whether the heart is full and all things willing, blessed are they who have a foundation strong enough that when the truth is revealed, they're ready to move toward it. Salvation, peace, my brothers and sisters, never be manifest after the diversities of men. To be saved, all must overcome all the contentions, deceitful misadministration which have succeeded in sedating the minds of all the peoples. The scripture I'm talking about is Isaiah 25. You see, we have to cast aside the veil and the covering, pierce the veils over all the nations. Romans 11, 25 to 27, we talked about it, we talked about it before. How the nations would succeed in blinding all Israel to the times of the Gentiles come to an end, meaning all the nations have been blinded, and Israel has been blinded by the constraints of the nations that have demanded that men affiliate or assimilate with standards with which the Most High in the end cannot be pleased. Scripture says Messiah must come as a Savior to turn men from these transgressions, from these illusions, from every one of these fallen standards. He as a Savior comes in the conscience of the Most High to make men whole. We just read it. Isaiah 50, 1 through 5. And blessed the soul will understand that. Not every heart, my brothers and sisters, is willing. Because many have believed that somehow they are viable for the Most High if they seek to claim that a lesser standard before the time is worthy. Scriptures say that those who would say such a standard, such a fallen standard, is viable. Well, Scripture says they'll be ashamed. The Apostle Shaul said in, how about 30 and 18 through 4 and 5, 1 Corinthians, say, if any man consider himself wise after, how about the diversities and contradictions of this world, let him Consider himself a fool that he might become wise. These contradictions are folly. They're certainly not a work under peace. Certainly like not a work under one understanding and agreement. Apostle Shaul said, I know nothing of which I'm guilty, but I might not be right in this. Where his judge will be, in this case, he was saying Messiah himself, who comes to reveal the hidden things that men have not considered, the things that men have not considered. How about even expose those who hide the truth in the darkness? He said, and then, in that day, when he reveals that exceeding light, then shall every man know how to praise Yah. Read 4 and 5, 1 Corinthians, and understand. Well, brothers and sisters, I say, woe to those who had established fallen standards that will compel men to be prideful after that which is by no means enough. And those scriptures, my brothers and sisters, as I told you before so many times in this show, are directly corollary to Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6, again relating that all as latter-day prophecy. Again, knowing that salvation is not after the diversities of men, diversities of men cannot bring forth peace. To be saved, all must overcome all the contentious, deceitful misadministrations which have succeeded in deceiving, beguiling all the peoples. I can tell you that Yah will not defile his name to accept any of these fallen standards as his own. He will not write his name upon a contract that has been sabotaged, intruded upon, corrupted, cut to pieces after the designs of men. How else could he be Lord? Scripture says Messiah gave his life to be Lord of both the dead and the living. Wow. How many understand what he meant when he said, if I do not go, the Comforter will not come? He gave his life declaring the standard of the Most High, that men discerned their rulers had persecuted the righteous one, that all might seek his righteousness, his standard, his exceeding truth, but the rulers sought to persecute. If men are to attain unto life. How many understood, my brothers and sisters, the doctrine? They called it Christ crucified. Who's understood, my brothers and sisters, that if the rulers are persecute a righteous one, and they are the unrighteousness, they must be overcome. They said, all must overcome the world. Must overcome all its illusions. For the Most High is not going to allow any vessel that would preserve any of these into his kingdom. He said he would destroy those who would seek to preserve anything after the ways these miscreant constructs that they've called the cities. Blessed then are they who will understand that foundation upon which the Most High will establish again Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, as a city of peace. I said, no fallen standard after this world is sufficient unto divine peace. None of them is steadfast unto divine peace. Whatever men have sought to exalt a lesser standard, they've also exalted double-mindedness. Scripture said, let not such a man think he receive anything from Yah. Is there a man worthy unto discipleship who will always be in some way resistant against some greater facet of the truth? Discern, my brothers and sisters, the one who confesses the Most High as Lord also confesses him as teacher, knowing that in all things the Most High will teach, they must be attentive. Or dare men say that they can rebuke the Most High and expect to be called allies, friends? So I say, you're my servant if you do everything I command you. So blessed are they who understand. I can only tell you what the Most High told me. He told me the greatest gift he can give is the law, for which his people might cooperate, love and trust. I find it amazing that revealing that he must restore to mankind a law, one standard by which men might have peace. I find it unusual, or maybe not so unusual. I think it might be, in fact, in all things after the bow. He told me the wisdom from him, his knowledge of his righteousness is the greatest gift. all might conform to him. It was in the midst of a Feast of Tabernacles, a time of remembrance of brothers and sisters, that he told me this thing. Blessed are those who receive the refining grace, the discipline of the Most High, that they might be made acceptable unto him. Like I said, there's a truth that only those who have a love for all righteousness, all the righteousness of the kingdom of Yah. There's a truth that only those who have that love will be found in all things privy to attain. Only those who see the righteousness of Yah more important than their own souls will gain life eternal. What does the scripture really say? You've heard them. He who seeks to save his life shall lose it. He will lose his life for the sake of my gospel, shall gain to life eternal. Whoever will humble himself to see the greater righteousness of Yah beyond all that he had called wise, these are they, my brothers and sisters, the Most High shall call faithful and steadfast as his own. This was the example of Messiah himself. Blessed are they who will understand it. Like I said, knowing that no standard of this world is viable unto the kingdom of Yah, all prophecies relate to Messiah will not be enslaved by any of them. He knows that to join himself with any of these standards of this world is to fall short of the glory of Yah, even to act in such a manner that many never seeing the righteousness of Yah might not see a righteous example. And he knows that example must be established. Scriptures have all foretold this thing. He knows he must awaken to the recovery of a righteousness the whole world has fallen short of. So much prophecy, Psalms,
90 seconds.
Speak of this concept again and again. It is by the faith in Yah that these truths may be uncovered, revealed, remembered, brought to mind again, that he'll pursue, all scripture says, till he uncovers all these secrets. And he will not be pleased until Yah has said, is enough, it is enough. The only peace, the only way peace can come, my brothers and sisters, the only peace that can come
60 seconds.
Is when one standard is established. I did not say many. And that one standard, my brothers and sisters, what the Most High declared in the beginning, because none of these contradictions of man is worthy to be called salvation peace. As I said to you before, show went on, in fact, a little bit tonight, longer than I initially had intended. Let it go for at least an hour. You know, we usually do an hour and a half, 2 hour shows at times. But I can only say to you, my brothers and sisters, I've sought to lay some foundation, because there's a tremendous amount of scripture over and over again that relates to what we talked about last night, about the obligation of the saints to seek the whole truth. Whoever confesses the holy name is obligated to seek the whole law. Anything else is a curse. Blessed are they will understand it. We need to talk about it from Genesis to Revelation. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, in the name of Yah, covenant remembrance ministries, to his might, honor, and praise always. Hallelujah. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that they've taught a false religion. They told people that they confess the name of Messiah, don't have to seek the fullness of his righteousness, and they still have believed and trusted in him. Damnable offense if they've taught such a lie. Who will understand it in this time?